I'm Connie Dover, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff Humfeld. We want to start out today's show by sending our condolences to the friends and family of Richard Tripp. Richard passed away last week after a battle with lung cancer. He started Care of Poor People over 30 years ago while living in a makeshift tent under the Broadway Bridge. His efforts to feed and clothe the homeless and poor saved many lives over the years and inspired many other such efforts. We will miss him as part of our Jaws of Justice Radio family as well. There will be a funeral for Richard at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 12th at the Grand Avenue Temple, 205 East 9th Street, KCMO. There will be a meal for the homeless and poor after the service. All are welcome to stay and help. Rest in peace, Richard. On today's edition, host Jessica Thomas and her guest, Ipan Thampi, we'll be talking about the petition drives and other efforts to legalize cannabis in Missouri. We will be taking your calls as well. Stay tuned for the calendar of events in the middle of the show and the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. Coming up next is Jessica and her guests.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. You're tuned to the Jaws of Justice here on 90.1 FM KKFI. Kansas City Community Radio. Wanted to welcome you all to the show. It's exciting. This morning with me, Ipan Thampi. And Ipan's here to discuss some action that's happening in the legislature, as well as joining us is Ryan Flowers, who's volunteer coordinator, correct? Are you a volunteer coordinator
for Western Missouri Director of Volunteers
for New Approach Missouri? And joining us on the phone, I do believe, correct, Patrick? Are you there, Patrick?
Yes, I am, and my wife, Lynn.
Hi, Patrick and Lynn. I'm so glad that you could join us. It's getting exciting here in the whole state of Missouri, actually, not just Kansas City, but, gathering the activists at this really busy time, and everybody is doing their part to make sure that we get cannabis on the ballot or we get something done. I'm pretty sure everybody is ready for this to happen. And welcome into the studio, everyone, and welcome Patrick and Lynn.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Awesomeness. And I wanted to let our listeners know this morning, we are going to have lines open for you to call in, which is the number is 816-931-5534. There's a lot of questions going on. A lot of different people are saying, there's confusion. We're confused. What's going on? Well, we know for sure we have petitions available for people to sign. And there's actually two separate petitions that are around. There were at one point three or four, I do believe, but we're down to the wire. And I believe these are going to be the two petitions that are going to be vying for to be on the ballot for a voter's the opportunity for voters to make a decision, as well as there's some pending action in the House that is a possibility that, they might get their stuff together and make an action as well. So it may, not have to go to voter if it goes that way. But in the meantime, the voters are going to put this in their hands. We're going to go out and sign petitions. First, since we've got Patrick and Linda, I'm sorry, right? Am I correct? On the phone with us. And we wanted to talk about your petition first that basically freeze the plant. And that's like the most ideal that we could have in the situation, if there was an ideal to have in the situation, free this plant. Can you tell us what some of the key points on the petition, Patrick?
Well, I'll take that one.
Okay, cool.
It does totally plant up. It's a non-toxic plant, formerly ubiquitous in the state of Missouri and the whole country. It's just repealing and repudiating prohibition entirely. And some people argue that, well, you don't have enough restrictions on our measure. But the fact is, putting this into the Constitution, that's not the place where you put the restrictions. Take a look at the Second Amendment. It's very brief.
It clarifies a right instead of a restriction. And law, if you want a restriction, you put it into law. If you want a right, you put it into the Constitution.
So you're seeking a constitutional amendment. Correct?
Correct.
And so this would then, just completely just free the plant. And that's basically the nuts and bolts of the petition, correct?
It's simple.
Yep. It takes it off of Schedule 1 in the state of Missouri, and it repudiates the federal prohibitions and does not allow any state funds to enforce state prohibitions.
It actually punishes the people who try to enforce it within the state if they work for the state. So they can't go after, the state itself cannot go after people, even though it would be or could be a federal crime.
So this allows for cultivation as well. It just takes the plant off the schedule all entirely. Like, ignore that plant. That plant is just okay.
Imagine it to be a tomato plant, a carrot, or any other vegetable or plant that's out there.
Reclassifies it as what it is, a plant, correct?
Correct.
Man, it's just like, it's so simple, it's beautiful.
we believe it to be true.
Well, I believe it too. Where are you guys gathering signatures at? I know that you've been in, it's been over a year. I know you've been closer to 2 years, haven't you, been on this?
We've been involved since April of last year, and so I know for a fact that we've been actively collecting signatures statewide since April, and the momentum just keeps building, and the response from the public has been astoundingly wonderful.
And so there's many different groups that are supporting this initiative, and that you'll just gather to turn in the petitions then on the date? Or?
Well, before the date, we have to get together and get through the petitions, the signatures, sort them, organize so we can hand them in.
The deadline's May 8th, so come mid to end of April, we'll be collating and boxing them up to get them ready to submit. And yes, there are numerous groups. Hempeneers United is a Facebook group my husband runs. I have Missouri Christians and Cannabis as a Facebook group.
And there's many, many others out there that are part of the grassroots run for this.
MoCA.
What group did you say, dear? MoCA?
Well, we're with Hempeneers United, but there's other groups out there called MoCA. There's Jane Mary. There's
MCRPA.
There's many.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they're all grass. They run their own show.
Okay, right.
But we collectively come together in the month of April to put them together, collate them, box them, and deliver them happily to the Secretary of State's office on or before May 8th.
Really awesome. Where's some place in Kansas City that Kansas City voters could find this initiative petition and sign it?
We have a map where we have pins marking where there are different signature stations and permanent signing stations. I'll put that up. I haven't been to Kansas City, so that's not my neck of the woods. But if you look at the map, here, give me a little moment to pull up the map.
Sure. No, you're cool. Let's gather up like your information for a contact information that people could give you guys a holler or look this up, the map that you're referring to. Like, is it a website or?
Hempeneers.com is a website that we have, but the map, hang on, I'm still trying to get it. my computer's slow.
That's cool, too. We're totally cool. Because we're sitting, while you're doing that, I'm going to ask Ryan here. Because Ryan, the New Approach Missouri also has a petition as well that's circulating, and they're here on the ground. So, Ryan, we'll come back just a second, Lane. Grab that information and that address. And Ryan, in Kansas City, I know you guys have a strong presence here, but you're out throughout Missouri. And new approach, Missouri kind of spawned off of Show Me Cannabis.
Yeah, we actually have one of the founders here with us today. And Show Me Cannabis was a state-run organization, 501c4 nonprofit group, a political nonprofit group. And they did such works as free Jeff Mazansky, who was serving life in prison for just getting in three violations of the law, having marijuana possession. And they did also a CBD oil bill a few years ago that allowed for, you know, extreme epilepsy patients to access CBD oil, and allowed for two facilities here in Missouri to also produce the CBD oil.
That's happening? Is that happening?
Yeah, and it's actually been pretty slow, and that's kind of what happens when the legislator sort of takes a hold of some of these initiatives. There's a very slow unveiling of the law. It's because they can take their time in terms of the regulation. So that's why we feel the petition is a much more direct approach. It's a direct citizen vote. So once we get enough signatures to get it on the ballot, it has language in there that requires the government to not only start accepting licenses for medical patients and as well as dispensaries and cultivation, but within 5 months, they have to start issuing these licenses to their patients as well. So the petition language itself pretty much requires that the government unroll this medical marijuana initiative in its full force and not drag its feet, much like other states like Illinois, for example, who have really taken their time with their medical programs.
I've noticed that just like across the country, and you've got varying degrees of legalization for medical and or you have complete freedom in Colorado where these things... Sorry, I just got distracted by looking at the clock there. But you have complete, you know, a recreational situation. Then we've got different varying degrees of medical bills that, like, allow, you know, for certain patients, like intractable pain or Duvet's, you know, an epileptic disorder. But now there are so many different, like, points or regulations. It just seems like it's just heavy. The regulating is really heavy.
Yes, and I agree that the regulation of the plant in and of itself shouldn't, you know, it's a federal law that it's Schedule 1 and that has no medical value. That's been proven by science time and time again not to be the case. It does have medical value. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the federal government is slow to catch up with the rest of the states. So with that being the case, states have had to take it upon themselves to put forth initiatives that would be voted upon. And that's something strategic that New Approach Missouri recognizes here within the state. They did intensive polling this past summer to see what if medical and recreational would both fly. That was the original plan, to do both a recreational initiative as well as a medical initiative. And the polling here is much more favorable for medical. And that's something that we want to make sure is guaranteed to pass this year. So if we were to, you know, throw the dice and put forth something that did have complete, lacking restrictions, or that of recreational, it doesn't seem politically as popular. The polling just is not favorable to that. And we want to make sure that patients have access to medicine as soon as possible. These are the people that need cannabis the most.
Right. You know, it seemed like there was a real big push about a year ago or a year and a half ago that Missouri wanted to get something on the books, but it seemed like they were geared more towards just a recreational proposal, until I think that the organizations that started to organize were seeing that most people wanted answers to the medical questions, which I don't think anybody was really prepared to answer. But this is so much regulation going into place. It just seems like we're setting ourselves up for issues with so many different things. But, you know, it's like, I digress. This is in the play. And so let's not even discuss, like, how this breaks out. Yeah, it'd be so much simpler just to free the darn plant.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's a wonderful step to get towards.
And well, of course, we are in the Show Me state.
Absolutely.
And Missouri needs, it does. Missouri, absolutely. This is my 20th year in Missouri. And one thing I've learned, you definitely have to show a Missourian the facts. You know, what's going on.
I think Colorado is a perfect example, though. They legalized medical marijuana in 2000, but it wasn't until 2009 that they actually had dispensaries so that medical patients could actually go into a store and actually access their medicine. So
that's like the concern, I think, is that they'll pass something and it'll just sit there and languish, and it'll just be, well, let's hurry up and not do a darn thing. Real quick, I wanted to remind my listeners that you're tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Thomas, on the Jaws of Justice. With me on the phone, we've got Patrick and Linda, who are speaking to Free the Plant. It is an initiative that, Patrick, what is the name? What would you say the group name is that you all fall under?
Well, there is really none. It's an initiative. We all follow the initiative. The initiative itself is called the Missouri Cannabis Restoration and Protection Act.
Okay, cool. So
and we're just all...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, because I see that when I do that, it kind of cuts you short and you can't hear me and I can't hear you. So let me just really quickly say that, so if someone is going up and they'll be approached by someone to sign the petition, or they're looking to sign a petition, the Missouri Restoration Act is the one that is going to free the plant completely. So that's what you'll want to look for. Now, what is the name of the new approach initiative? So
that is the name of the initiative. New Approach Missouri is the campaign committee putting it forth. And one of the cool things about the initiative itself is it doesn't have a limit on qualifying conditions. This is about your doctor-patient relationship and getting the bureaucrats out of handling one's medicine.
Health.
So it's basically saying that, you know, any doctor, if they feel that cannabis can be medically beneficial for you can get a recommendation for it. So we're talking about everything from epilepsy to pain to Crohn's, a lot of debilitating diseases that have a wide range of symptoms that can all be treated by cannabis. So by allowing your doctor to have more power in the relationship with you and your medical decisions, giving you the options to have medication that can, in many cases, result in reducing all the pharmaceuticals that you're taking, it really is putting life back into people's into their lives.
Absolutely.
So they can get it back, and they can actually, be with their families, be with their friends, and be themselves.
Patrick, did you have an address for the website for us?
Well, we're sending you the map address.
Oh,
the
cool.
Website that you can get a lot of information would be Hempeneers United.
Oh, I got you here.
Facebook page.
Right on. So we can go ahead and share this information on the Jaws of Justice link as well. Now, we get to the end of the show, we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to give the addresses again so that we've got it. So listeners, you'd want to get a pen and paper ready for towards the end of the show, because that's when we're going to give you the addresses again. I also wanted to remind our listeners that you can call in today with the idea that you got any questions that you or opinions that you really want heard. At this point, though, where we're at is gathering signatures. This is a go. This is a go, Kansas City. This is it's not just Kansas City. It's anywhere that can hear my voice in Missouri. It's a go. There are petitions. And you want to answer, have a question answered about either one of these initiatives or what we're going to discuss here in just a moment, some things that are happening in the House. You can call us here at 816-931-5534. And someone can answer your question to, because I'm like kind of on top of these things, because this is what I do on a regular basis, these issues. So I'm following, but I get a little bit confused myself. But it makes sense that I'm a little confused, because there's not a lot of organization or anybody really like grabbing control. We have a caller. Let's let this caller in. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
It's Blind Guy from Midtown. You should have had each person on a separate show.
We have for the last couple of years. And today we're getting it in here because people have got a lot of questions. But, we got you.
Well, honey, the guy that's trying to do the medical, I believe your petition is that it's a beautiful day?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay, Fran knows who I am. We should get together because we need to take you on a good radio tour. It's nice you're on Jaws of Justice, the community radio we should hit to educate people. What made the petition problem last time, they had people going through like Westport to get people to sign it, and they were afraid to sign it because they didn't want to be on a list. But I think the information's out there. People are more willing, and yes, the medical. Yeah, I know. Illinois is dragging its feet, but they are having some successes. So, hey, peace out.
Thank you so much. And we did, what did they have issues with regarding medical questions? Do we have another caller?
No, that's actually something I just happened to notice. Someone posted that on your Facebook page.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, right on. Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. But thank you. Caller wanted to thank you for calling in. And, you know, while we're going on here, there are a lot of other commercial radio stations that pander to commercialism. And you can be drug around on a dog and pony show. But we feel like this is the most important destination in Kansas City where we actually have control of our content and aren't controlled by corporate interests. So I'm going to go over to my the Facebook messaging because I guess we've got stuff coming in over there too. But wanted to welcome Eapen Thampy. And Eapen has been an activist in this and formed a lot of organizations, been a part of most of the organizations through your career. And now you're working in the House and there's some action going on there. Can you tell us, Eapen, what's going on?
I think that we're at a point in history where there's enough knowledge out there, enough news stories have gone out that the legislature is finally awakening to the reality that something has to happen. There's a physician from Cameron, Missouri. He's a state representative, a Republican named Jim Neely. He's, I think, beginning to take up the challenge of shepherding medical cannabis legislation through the House. You know, we don't have, I think, a consensus on what that final legislation will look like. But at the same time, I think the legislature is generally aware of the fact that, you know, this is about medicine, this is about patients, this is about human rights. So I think we have the possibility of getting something very good out of the legislature this year. You know, and it's good that there are constitutional initiative petitions out there collecting signatures. That's, I think, an incentive for the legislature to act and provides them with a bar to reach. You know, if the legislature doesn't offer the voters something that's of comparable quality to either the to anything that conceivably could make the ballot, I think you will see someone go to the ballot. And I think that ultimately, what happens in Jeff City or what happens in November at the ballot box, I think Missouri will have medical cannabis by the end of the year.
Let you talk, sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, there's a lot of, you know, it's really a low bar in the legislature. I mean, once you just get to some of these people and you begin talking to them and you bring their constituents to the table, you bring some of the resources that now exist to kind of reach people. Most people in the legislature are with us on this at the end of the day. You know, this may not be their issue. And really, I think the issue is education. You know, we're talking about a plant. We're talking about things that have never really been popularly accepted or widespread or widely accepted in society until the last few years. You know, we have tremendous advocates and allies that have joined us in this cause. You know, I want to particularly mention the support from law enforcement in the state. You know, the first police chief that I know of who said, you know, let's get law enforcement out of the business of marijuana enforcement was the chief of police in Columbia, Ken Burton. You know, several years ago. Now we have other active duty law enforcers who take up this advocacy, like Larry Kirk, the police chief in Old Monroe, Missouri, and Gary Wiegert, a sergeant in St. Louis City. And our own Jackson County Sheriff has become arguably the state's most important law enforcement advocate for medical cannabis. You know, in Jackson County, I think has, you know, and his presence on the issue, I think, is likely to change a lot of minds. It's likely to push a lot of supporters from the, I agree with this, but I'm not, you know, terribly committed column over to the, yes, I'm all in on this column. And, you know, if you talk to him, he'll tell you about, you know, his own personal experience with his family and special needs families, you know, is a very pertinent issue to the sheriff. He's seen the effects of medical cannabis for autism. And, you know, that's something that was very influential in changing his perspective and making him an advocate as opposed to merely, you know, just someone who says, you know, shakes his head and say, yeah, I agree with that. And I think that has the potential, I think, to really change a lot of minds, not just in the legislature. I mean, Jackson County has 24 House seats and 4 state Senate seats. You know, so that's 15% of the legislature right there, you know, in this county. But, you know, also the ordinary voter, I think, the ordinary citizen, I think the war on drugs, the prohibition on cannabis has certainly harmed a lot of relationships, you know, within society. And I think that, you know, as we see different parts of society, especially in leadership, you know, kind of establishment places, say, yeah, this is the right thing to do. I think you'll see a lot of those rifts begin to have the possibility of healing, you know, and it's kind of, you know, we talk about this this as, you know, this metaphor of healing a lot with the plant, you know, but it, you know, it really does seem the more we bring this out, you know, the more the state, you know, the more the country benefits.
Little quietness there. It was just a little letting you soak commentary? In your yeah. words of wisdom there, Ethan.
You know, and you know, the legislature, the General Assembly, you know, they're taking up issues that important issues that are going to have relevance to the issue, issues of felony expungement, you know, issues of reforming our correctional system, issues of reforming our prosecutor system. I mean, you know, in this state, the drug testing labs only get paid for positive results. That's not a good system.
We have a caller coming in here real quick. We're going to get that and then go to the PSAs and the Jaws of Justice call, but I want to get to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. What's your name and what part of town are you calling from?
Long guy from Midtown. Locally, our politician, Sly James, is definitely for medical. He'd have to think about legalization, so he used to talk to him because he'd have the bully pulpit to do a news conference on it. And in our fourth district, Julie Justice and Catherine Shields are totally for it, so get them to get out there and talk about it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It would help people
oh, yeah.
find it. Petitions, and we can move this forward and have a win. Hey, peace
absolutely.
Out.
Yeah, I mean, Mayor James and the Congress members you mentioned are definitely advocates of the issue. You know, I said, you know, this needs to be addressed on a statewide level. There's only so much they can do at the city or city council or county legislature arena. But, you know, they've been supporters and they know this is a majority position of their constituents.
And it seems like a lot of these politicians, they're probably not likely to bring up the issue to you. It seems like they'd rather take the path of least resistance as far as that goes. But if you bring the issue up to them, that would probably allow them to be much more open on the subject. It seems that amongst their peers, it's still relatively taboo to bring up marijuana reform or cannabis
reform. Well, not in Jackson County, really.
I'm saying, yeah, you know, what I noticed is if a politician comes out in support, they're going to find that their campaign coffers are going to, and their supporters are going to turn out in mass to support them. Listen, on that thought, we need to stay on schedule, and I know Mike wants to play us. We have the Jaws of Justice calendar coming in and some public service announcements that we'd like to get you to. It's 9:28. You're tuned to the Jaws of Justice on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Now, the calendar for March 7th, 2016. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet Monday, March 7th, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. You are invited to bring a friend and some non-perishable items for the Church After School Backpack Food Program. For information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-522-4081 or by email at redrob, that's REDROB 2655 at yahoo.com. American Public Square presents their latest Dinner on the Square, Muslim in the Metro, a look at what it is like to be a Muslim in our community. This event will be held tonight, Monday, March 7th, with dinner at 5:30 p.m. and the program from 6 to 8 p.m. at Pearson Auditorium, Atterbury Student Success Center on the UMKC campus, 5000 Holmes Street, KCMO. Registration is required. You can do that by going to www.americanpublicsquare.org/Muslim in the Metro, or by calling 816-235-5000. 5067. Mothers of incarcerated sons and daughters will be having their monthly meeting Saturday, March 12th, from noon to 2 p.m. at the Waldo Branch Library, 201 East 75th Street, KCMO. If you have a loved one that is incarcerated and need advice and support, MISD has members that may be able to help. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Next week, host LaTara Smith talks with Mama on a Mission about their mission and their upcoming fundraiser, Walk a Mile in My Shoes. Now, back to Jessica and her guest.
And we're back. Welcome back to the Jaws of Justice here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Are you still with us, Patrick and Linda? Hello?
Yes, we are.
Yay! Yes. I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't tell you to go back, that we'd be right back. I apologize. Thank you for staying on the line with us. And great, this is working out awesomely. And now, I already know the answer to this question if I'm to ask you guys. Will your petition allow people to get seeds to grow their own?
And absolutely. It will, like any other agricultural plant, consider a tomato. It would be treated like a tomato. A lot of people don't want to garden and grow tomatoes, so you will be able to purchase it commercially, and it will be taxed just like any other agricultural product.
Cool. And then the new approach initiative.
You are allowed to be a personal cultivator if you are granted a license for a doctor's recommendation so you can grow up to 6 plants. If you become a caregiver, which means that you can grow for a person who medicinally needs it, that means you can do that to up to 3 individuals, so that's up to 18 plants.
Mm-hmm. And then, Epin, there was something in the House that they had discussed about cultivation?
You know, that's going to be an interesting discussion. I've been talking about it as household microcultivation. That's the term of art that I'm using to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I think I think that ultimately the question is, it seems that that home cultivation or personal or household microcultivation I think it's the bit of this piece that I think takes the most effort to move to change people's minds on. I think that the language that we've drafted up and we're looking for consensus allows for that licensing process and that space to be opened. I don't think that there was any interest in precluding it, from a statute to allow for medical cannabis. So what that'll look like, I'm not sure. But I think that, the discussion is open. It's happening.
So is this something they could just go ahead and put something into law?
Yes.
And that would supersede anything or that the citizens do? Just let me ask you, would the citizens' initiative petition override anything they do in-house or would theirs trump that? Or how would that work, say, if
so,
the voters?
I think both of the active petitions are both constitutional amendments. So they would be in the Constitution. That's the supreme law of the state. So the question is, will the Missouri legislature pass something that is that offers a quality alternative or at least the basics of let doctors decide open licensing for commercial purposes and distribution and household cultivation. I think that if the General Assembly adopts those 3 principles and passes something that encapsulates all 3 of those, then there's probably not going to be a need to go to the constitutional ballot in November. But then again, if the legislature doesn't, someone's going to do it anyway. So,
and that brings up the question of cultivating. We were talking about cultivators. Why you're doing it is for a plant why you're doing is to use the plant, whether it's, I don't believe, honestly, my personal opinion, of course, you already know what that is. There's not a non-medical use, but would this bill allow for home extraction? Now, you're getting into an area where there's...
That's a tricky question.
Right,
I think that you'll see...
Issues.
I think that you'll see, you know, this is science that has been existing for, over 100 years, the science of extracting essential oils and resins from plants. I think you will see that it will be legal to use, alcohol-based processes for extractions. I don't think you'll see support for letting people using hydrocarbon solvents to do household extractions. Those tend to be volatile and inflammable. And in other states, you get a lot of people back and forth on this. I think there's about a 50-50, or maybe there's some kind of, there's definitely a split even among the advocates on this. Should we allow household extraction? Well, sure, for some extract methods. That's easy, but for when you're talking about people, using live butane, open butane in a open processing environment.
Doesn't sound good. Anyway, you look at it.
I mean, that's something that really should be happening in a regulated, laboratory condition.
I can see the extraction using an alcohol process, something similar to what your grandmother used throughout her existence.
And there's even a rosin test as well. If you just use a heat and a pressure and you're able to extract the essential oils that way too.
So does new approach, does that allow for cultivators to extract the oils?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no language restricting it.
There's not. Is there anything in line? I also wanted to remind the listener that we did have a line open at 816-931-5534. If you had questions yourself, because I personally do have questions, and I'll ask them. But if I'm not thinking of the question that you're thinking of, you need to call in right now, 816-931-5534. To ask your question, there is no such thing as a stupid question. The only stupid question is the question you don't ask, I believe. And we do have a listener calling in this morning, and you're on the air, caller. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Well, it's Blind Guy from Midtown. Hey, all this stuff is fine, butane and stuff like that, but what we need to really concentrate on is what it takes to get a signature on a petition. Most people say, oh, I'll go out and sign it. No, you sign it with how you're registered at the registered office of voting.
You've called in three times, and this
signature
is kind of irrelevant
the whole
to what we're talking about.
If you talk more on that, because Fran's having a lot of people come in there, and she does register to vote, and she will mail it in for him, but a lot of people aren't registered. So we need to talk what it takes to get a correct signature on the petition. Peace out.
So, I think we're determined that we need to get you guys to get people to locations where they can sign either the Free the Plant Completely or New Approach, which is a medical, strictly, you'd have to say it's really based on medical. So where could people... Just say, for New Approach.
To the caller's point, you can go to newapproachmissouri.com and you can go to the tab that says Take Action, and then underneath it'll say Signing Locations, and there'll be a big map of Missouri, and pinned there in the Kansas City area are several locations. We have already mentioned It's a Beautiful Day off of Broadway. It's a Dream Smoke Shop is also off of Broadway. Irizumi Tattoos off of 75th and Warnell. Excellent location south side of the city. We also have three locations up north, one of which would be Voodoo, Pipes and Tobacco, New Earth. And we also have a few law offices, Meyer Cord's Law Office in North Kansas City. They can also offer notary services for anyone who needs to get their signatures notarized, who are collecting signatures for the petition. And we also have DeVries Law Office off of Broadway, who would also notarize those. And getting signatures is really important. I think the caller is absolutely right. You can go to any of those permanent signing locations, again, at newapproachmissouri.com. That's where you can find their addresses if you're not familiar with the businesses. And all of those signatures will be collected up until about May 1st. The sooner the better. And we'll definitely be having a big presence on the 15th. 15th, for those of you who don't participate in politics, would be the primary day here in Missouri. So lots of registered voters out there. So we'll be getting lots of signatures that day if you want to volunteer.
And the number for you that don't know it, 816-931-5534. Patrick in, brings up a good point. Not, you know, NAM, the new approach to Missouri's measure, 7 point in parenthesis 9. No person shall extract resins from marijuana using dangerous materials or combustible gases without a medical marijuana infused products manufacturing license. Violation, you know, of this prohibition shall subject to violator to department sanctions, including administrative penalty and or loss of their IT card. So this, technically what they're saying is, so there is something in place that says, no, you shall not extract. And I guess,
well,
this
it's
is
not
using,
eliminating extractions entirely. It's allowing those who have licensed cultivation to allow to do that. And just as Ethan was saying, this is a scientific process that needs to be carried out. So if you're doing a home extraction, something that wouldn't be licensed, then yeah, that would be a restriction upon it. But it's not eliminating extractions entirely. In fact, it's actually putting an environment that would be much safer.
Okay,
and
so
you're also getting quality product. You'd be getting a product that would be certified.
Ooh,
would
yeah,
be,
but like I
would
just
be evaluated by scientists to say, hey, yeah, this doesn't have any contaminants. It doesn't have any residual BHO in it. And this is quality product for you as a patient.
And when you're referring to using dangerous materials or combustible gases, is that broke down to state what a dangerous material or combustible gas is? Would that say this then? Medical marijuana infused products. So does that mean that... do you have a list then, or breaks down what is a dangerous material or combustible gas? Is alcohol a combustible gas?
I don't have the
gas?
List right in
no,
front
I'm
of me.
No, I'm just saying there it is, right? You know, the 7.9. There's the language.
Yeah,
so I'm
aware
just
of
saying,
the language. Yeah.
Yeah. Is, so does that just is that like saying there are like a list of what materials are dangerous materials or combustible gases? Would alcohol be a combustible gas then in that? So. Are they referring to alcohol extraction in this?
It doesn't specifically say
alcohol. Yeah, that's
what
I'm saying. Is there using dangerous materials or combustible gases? Is there like a breakdown of what those are in the language?
I don't think that they would qualify alcohol as a dangerous substance
material
for,
or
for extraction.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking, though. Is that statement, dangerous materials or combustible gases, broke down so people would know what that includes, what's dangerous material or combustible gas? And if it, maybe that's a place where that needs to be put. Like it says, not including alcohol extracting for home use.
Well,
of
and I think that's the difficulty of putting forth a petition as well, is when you're getting into the nitty gritty and you're actually outlining, okay, how is this going to be put forth? How is this going to be regulated? How is it going to unveil? There's always going to be room for interpretation, right? There's always going to be the ability for the Department of Health to say, okay, well, this is going to qualify
because they have to put in place their
absolutely
standards.
But
that's a whole
but there's
new
also, you know, not enough time for them to put every restriction underneath the sun, you know, against cannabis. And I think it's important to note that this is trying to get medicine to people who need it the most. This is trying to save lives. This is trying to keep people out of jail. So if there are some restrictions when it comes to extracting someone's concentrate, but then a patient can actually get medicine to save their life. You know,
well,
that's a restriction I think is reasonable, at least at this time.
I would think that
I think a plain reading of the language, like people use rubbing alcohol or ethyl alcohol,
but that'll
for,
make you sick.
I shouldn't have said rubbing alcohol, but ethyl alcohol, you know, grain alcohol. People use that, you know, for all kinds of purposes. That's a common household usage. You know, I don't think that's a plain reading of that language precludes people from using alcohol. I think it does preclude them from, you know, taking a can of butane and blasting it through a tube in their backyard. And maybe you'd want to word that a little bit more carefully. You know, the phrase dangerous material seems to me somewhat ambiguous
and open for interpretation on a lot of because a plastic bag is dangerous to a little kid.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think that would, a plain reading shouldn't preclude the use of alcohol for you know, a constant.
Well, we wouldn't think, but of course it's not described, so it leaves it open for interpretation.
And that's one of the problems with putting something in the Constitution is that, you know, let's say there, you know, the new approach petition has high licensing fees. I think $50,000 for a cultivation license.
$20,000
for a licensing fee to the state. You know, if you wanted to change that either to lower it or to increase it, you know, you'd have to go back to the constitutional ballot.
Let's get to this listener that we do have a caller on the air, and you are on the air. And what is your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Jack from Shawnee.
Woo! Hi, Jack from Shawnee.
Morning. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, very excellent show. Thank you. I wish they'd legalize it in Kansas.
Yeah, well, you know, Kansas has a lot of sense. I guess there was some political action over there in the last few days, and it seems like Kansas are saying no more brownback or no to brownback's way of thinking, I guess.
I hope so. We hope so. By the way, I attended the Bernie Sanders rally in Lawrence, and on point, he said that if he's elected president, he would remove cannabis as a scheduled drug.
Just awesomeness.
That's good.
Yeah, so vote Bernie. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And wow. Yeah,
we were at the Bernie Sanders rally just last week when he was here in town. I think there was roughly 7,000 people there, and we collected over 1,000 signatures for New Approach Missouri. So.
And one of the champions in our issue in the legislature, Brandon Ellington, the state representative from the 22nd district, was the guy who introduced Senator Sanders. So,
I would have liked to have that opportunity. That's cool. I wanted to remind our listeners, we do have a few minutes, and you can call in at 816-931-5534 if you have any questions. I know we are determined that there are two different petitions. Now my question to you, Patrick, and do you know, can you sign both petitions?
Well, there's nothing stopping you. If you want an opinion, it's just putting it onto the ballot so it can be voted on in November.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking maybe most people would sign anything just to get it there.
That's what our
experience has been. People are just, they hear the word marijuana and they want to sign.
They're hungry.
Yeah, just, well.
They are ready very, very hungry.
I believe it's called cannabis deficiency syndrome. We're deficient.
There's a lot of truth to that.
I believe it's a cause of a lot of our ills as well. That, it really honestly breaks down to for profit. We've been denied something that is keeping us well and sane. And I think it explains a lot of the last 70-some years of crazy political climate that we're in and the degradation of our society. We've gotten away from the roots, where we are, the earth and that plant.
Many of the doctors don't even realize that there's an endocannabinoid system within the human body. As a matter of fact, most living creatures.
Absolutely.
One of the only plants that fulfills the needs for that system is the cannabis plant.
And no one wants to admit that your education, totally ignored a whole system like the circulatory system. It's so important to us.
Yes.
And I think as we're going along and we're discovering, as the information goes out to us, we're discovering how badly we've been deceived for want and for profit. And I tell people, when we're discussing this, one, two, three things happen. You find out these truths as the truths are revealed, and you're going to get angry. You get angry as the more that you go along and you believe how much we've been deceived. And then you will learn the truth and get active. So it's kind of a process that the right people are being helped. And there are a lot of things happening in Missouri, a lot of exciting new things. I believe there's a new radio or television show called Marijuana Miracles that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be Growing Out of Autism. And they're presenting a program called Marijuana Miracles. And they were... It is a conservative, a faith-based organization based here in Missouri. And I was really amazed to see once that a lot of people got a hold of seeing in the Bible that the truth was there, that God gave us this plant, that this is ours. And they've realized. And so anyway, long and short, there's a new show called Medical Marijuana Miracles that'll be coming out pretty soon. On the Axe Media Network, I believe. And just amazing. When they started, they were kind of anxious about people speaking to this point. And amazingly enough, when they started to hold a day of shooting where people would come to speak to it, their own personal experiences, they were just overwhelmed with individuals that wanted to come forward and speak to this, which, you know, in years past, people were just frightened, like you say, to sign something because it put them on a list that would identify them, that opened them up for, you know, criminal action by the legal departments of our great state of Missouri. So, sorry, there I go.
John Hancock.
Right on. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you are on the air. What's your name? What part of time are you calling? Town are you calling?
Dave from Liberty.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm just going to comment. I'm collecting signatures for New Approach Missouri, and I'm kind of getting a little discouraged because about 30% of the people aren't registered to vote, or at least that's what they say. I have no reason to doubt them.
Right. You got your cards, your extra cards for voter registration there?
No, they all have to get the cards themselves. I can't do all of that for them.
They can also go to the secretaryofstate.com, and they can register online as well.
Yeah, I just carry extras in my briefcase. That's just kind of me, though. I'm that guy.
Yeah, you have to go by Union Station and get them printed out.
I'm that guy. I got them in my briefcase.
Well, I kind of leave that up to them. They can't do it right there while I'm getting their signature either. So, but
right.
Hopefully they'll make
good
it to
point.
Where people get out and registered to vote, particularly the young people. That was my comment. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your support. We're glad you're out there collecting signatures for such an important initiative.
I couldn't hear you, Patrick. What'd you say? And thank
you. We've had people register on the phone right then and there waiting to sign, and it worked fairly well. They got everything done over the phone.
Oh, they got a phone app?
Yep. That's one thing that you might want to be careful of as well, because the Secretary of State needs the voter registration information before you can actually sign the petition. So if they look back on the signature and the date doesn't correspond to the date that they have their information as a registered voter, they'll discount the vote.
So how long does it take, do you know?
Roughly a week. Roughly a week, but that's
really
But that's about the estimate that we have just from turning people's in information.
So would that be from the date that you register voting?
Right. So today is Monday, and if I registered to vote today, I would want to wait till next week.
This show just burned out, and I've got to thank everybody. really quick, hey Patrick, could you lay on an address for me?
Sure, hempeneers.com. That's H-E-M-P as in hemp. Hempen E-N-E-E-R-S.com. Or Hempeneers United on Facebook. I try to keep it regular with the map available, and I'll be more than willing to answer any questions.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Patrick. And we'll be in touch further. I'd like to thank, what's his name over there? I'm looking at you, Ryan. Ryan Flowers from New Approach Missouri for coming in and joining us. Ethan Thampy, thank you so much representing what's going on at the House. I'm Jessica Thomas. You've been tuned to the Jaws of Justice here on 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the 420 Drug War News.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following was recorded last week in Ithaca, New York. The Ithaca plan to legalize heroin safe injection sites.
Ithaca Mayor Savante Myrick.
I want to not recite every point of the plan because the plan is now online on the City of Ithaca's website and on my own Facebook page. So you can read those 65 pages of recommendations. I want to talk instead about how we got here. Here being a place in which we spend more money on locking people up, spend more money on policing the streets, and we still have more drug users and drug addicts than we did when we began the war on drugs. That's something that has bothered me my entire life. I have personal experience with addiction. My father was a drug addict, and I saw that the way the system treated both him and our family only made the situation worse. So I always knew that. 9 years ago, I was elected to the city council. I was only 20 years old. When I was 24, I was elected mayor. Last year, I was re-elected mayor. So I've now for nearly a decade been at the head of a system. I've been in charge of a system, and I watched that system continue to make the same mistakes and use the same failed policies while hoping for a different outcome. So 2 years ago, I'd had enough, and I approached the Drug Policy Alliance, about 45 people in my community, and I told them that I wanted different answers. I didn't know what the answers were, but we had to try something else. And they really attached this idea of attacking the problem of drugs as a problem of health policy. So they began doing focus groups. They talked to 350 people. They worked for 2 years. They traveled all over the country to look at best practices. And the plan they recommended is the Ithaca plan. And it's something I didn't write, but I'm incredibly proud to have my name on it. I'm incredibly hopeful for. I believe it will save lives. I believe it will keep people in our community alive. And I believe it will also help them get into treatment and to eventually recover. So I'm super excited about that for my community. I also believe that this will be a model for communities around the country. In the last 48 hours, I have heard wrenching stories from policymakers, elected officials, business leaders, pastors, and regular citizens from all over the world who have read about our plan and want to replicate it. So more information becomes available. I think more communities will take matters into their own hands and decide that they cannot wait for the federal government to fix this problem.
Again, that was Ithaca Mayor Savante Myrick. Dean Becker, drugtruth.net.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcast on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live and find podcasts of our show on the KKFI website, that is kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Beth Pike, for her work today. My name is Melvin Merritt, asking you to tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Claymer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beautician Blues with Luscious Liam, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musicale.